Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading, I thought Dad was kidding about what lives on our farm. Now I know he's telling the truth. By Sunshine Dreaming from Reddit. I hope you enjoy this story, and a huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible. Let's get started. The first thing I noticed on my way home was the corn. Acres and acres of flat, rich land stretched out on either side of the country road, dotted with young sprouts in a perfect grid. I slowed the car to a crawl before turning into the gravel driveway and rolling to a stop in front of the old farmhouse. I turned the key in the ignition and sighed. I dreaded coming back here, mostly because corn wasn't the only thing our land produced. There was something else that thrived here, a secret. Something so wildly enormous, most days I couldn't believe it was real. It was something I had spent the last 15 years trying to rationalize and forget. But today I wasn't thinking about that. I was here for another reason. Mom's funeral. I'd been stunned by the news of her heart attack. I had nearly dropped the phone. My ears rang. My heart beat out of control. And my dad talked on, oblivious to my out-of-body experience. Dad met me on the porch. "Hey, Dad," I said, bringing him in for an awkward hug. My relationship with my parents had become increasingly strained over the last few years. Every day, the chasm of understanding between us grew wider and wider, until finally I realized we could now only talk in terse, pointless phone calls about weather and sports, the only common ground we had left.
"Had anything to eat?" Dad asked. "People have dropped off all kinds of stuff."
The kitchen had always been spotless, but today it showed signs of heavy traffic, with muddy footprints on the floor and dishes piled in the sink. "Mom's not been gone 2 days and it's already gone to hell around here," I thought sadly. With the way Dad cleaned, we'd probably have mice within a month. The kitchen was a 1980s decor time capsule that took me instantly back to my childhood. On the counter, a smorgasbord of barely touched casseroles set ready to eat. I made a plate and joined Dad at the table. As I ate, I listened to Dad talk about the arrangements, the funeral home and the neighbors that had stopped by. The longer I sat there, the more dismayed I grew with my father. Dad was handling the situation with a morbid practicality that I found distasteful. Meanwhile, just sitting in my parents' kitchen brought tears to my eyes. This place might not be much, but I had a lot of memories here. Some good, some bad. I know Mom loved it, but in later years I could tell she was getting tired of the farm life. By the time we washed up, it was late, which gave me an excuse to grab my bags and retreat upstairs. My old room was still decorated with posters and photographs. I climbed into the too small bed and reached for the lamp. The moment I flipped the switch, the memories came back. I'd spent significant time in therapy trying to convince myself I'd hallucinated the whole thing. I'd even taken medication for my paranoid delusions, but the instant my head hit the pillow, I knew that was a joke. Outside, branches from our overgrown maple tree scraped against my bedroom window. A storm was coming in. Back and forth they swayed, scratching the glass with an eerie, unsettling sound. All of a sudden, I was 12 again, sitting in the armchair with a pair of binoculars, looking over our backfield during a midnight thunderstorm. That's when I saw the bog man, marching steadily across the wet grass towards Mr. Murin's house. I had dropped the binoculars out of fright, but curiosity made me raise them again. There it was. I wasn't crazy. I had saw something in the quick flash of lightning. A tall, amorphous creature was steadily making his way towards the house on the hill. Warm light spilled from the windows of Mr. Murin's house like a beacon. I adjusted the binoculars and brought it into focus. It had enormous limbs and a tiny head, like an afterthought to such a strange body. Sticks and branches twined together like muscle, dank bog mud dripping from his hands. Each lumbering step he took was as solid as rock, and the wind whipped tendrils of brush behind him as he pushed forward into the night. I could have written that off as a dream, except the next day Mr. Murin was dead. I knew what had killed him. I had seen it. But I couldn't say anything. Not because people wouldn't believe me, but because my dad and I were the ones who unleashed him. At the time, Dad wanted to buy Mr. Murin's farm. It was a great little farm, and it would nearly double our property. So one afternoon, Dad drove over to Mr. Murin's house and brought me with him. He dumped me in the dusty living room while they talked business in the kitchen. Mr. Murin liked to hunt, and his living room was full of taxidermied creatures. I was inspecting a stuffed bobcat on the TV set when I was startled by Mr. Murin's raised voice.
"I'll never sell this land, Bob," the old man wheezed. "It's where I was born. It's where I'll die."
Dad didn't waste time getting out of there. As we headed for the door, though, Dad did something strange. He looked over his shoulder to make sure we weren't being watched, and then he slipped a pair of keys from the hook by the door and dropped them into his pocket. Once we were back in the truck, Dad didn't head home. Instead, he took a back road that brought us to the very far side of our property. "Dad, where are we going?" I asked. We didn't even farm this field, just left it fallow. The ground was too wet, and dead in the center was an actual bog. We never went near it. Except today, we were. Dad didn't reply as he pulled the truck up and got out. I watched as he pulled a spade from the truck bed and marched towards the brush surrounding the water. I was confused, and I didn't understand why we were here. So after a minute, I followed him. Unlike the other overgrown parts of our farm, this spot was silent. No rustling branches or birds singing. I shivered. The bog gave me the creeps. The water was still, and it had a gross, rotten smell. I didn't like it back here, and I wanted to leave. Dad was crouched down right at the water's edge, digging a shallow hole. He caught me watching him.
"He'll wish he'd sold that farm," Dad said quietly, "when the bog man shows up at his place tonight."
Then he dropped the keys in the hole and pushed the dirt over top, smoothing it with his hand. I was uncomfortable. The bog man was something Dad made up to scare me when I was little, not something that was actually real, but Dad didn't sound like he thought it was fake. Dad's grip on reality had always been a little weak. He couldn't resist buying a National Enquirer in the grocery line, and he had unhealthy interest in Area 51. It sounded like this was just something else he was about to latch onto.
"This is our land's real treasure,"
he continued, oblivious to my discomfort.
"The Indians called it a tree walker. It's one of their creatures, but when my great-granddad settled the land, it was there."
I said nothing. Dad held my gaze.
"The bogman is a fixer," he said softly. "Whenever you have a problem, you take something that belongs to the person who's causing you trouble and you bury it in the mud bank here." He paused. "Something small, personal." "Got it."
I nodded, not knowing what to say.
"We have to protect it. That's why we never leave. We never sell. There's always one of us on this land."
We drove home in silence. I put the incident out of my mind until later that night when I was playing with the binoculars and saw what we'd done. Alone in my old room, the wind picked up and mercilessly slammed the branches against the side of the house. I pulled the blankets up around me, trying to get comfortable. Over the years, I thought about that day over and over, obsessed with what I had seen and feeling guilty for my involvement. The day after Mr. Murin died, I had slipped down to our lower field alone. I wanted to prove it had all been a dream. But when I got to the bottom of our field, my heart raced at the sight of giant footprints, each one as large as a car tire. I had tried hard to forget what I saw in the binoculars, but footprints, how could I explain that away? No amount of therapy had managed to completely erase it from my mind, and the memory came back to me as I tossed and turned in the small twin bed. After a long while, the soft sound of rain falling on our rooftop finally calmed me enough that I fell into a restless sleep. I was initially confused when I woke up the next morning. I didn't recognize my surroundings. Then it all came back to me. "Mom's dead," I thought, "and there's a bog creature living in our backfield." Yep, I was still crazy. With extreme dread, I dressed in a wrinkled suit and drove to the funeral home in the pouring rain. This was the part I didn't want to deal with. I hated crowds, and there would certainly be one today. I didn't want to endure all those kind words from our neighbors and friends, but I would do it for Mom. As I stood there looking into her casket, I was struck by how peaceful she looked. The funeral home had done a good job. Tasteful makeup, her best church suit. My eyes lingered on her, wanting to memorize every detail about this final time we would be together. but something was missing. Mom's golden cross necklace, the one she had worn every day of my entire life. A voice whispered in my head, something small, something personal. I turned slowly to face the man beside me, a man I apparently didn't know at all. "Dad," I said slowly, "where's Mom's necklace?" And that's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed this little one, and if you did, let me know. Like this video if you're on YouTube, and maybe subscribe for more Not AI stories. We will be the diamond in the rough of all the AI slop. If you'd like to support the channel, you can do so on Patreon. I appreciate you if you're a Patreon member and supporting the channel that way, but I just appreciate you for listening and being here, and I think that's all I have to say. I'll see you in the next one, kiddos.